Romans 4, we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 5. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. We're just going to go that far again this morning. Martin Luther said that the teaching of justification by faith will be hated and attacked in every generation. And that has been the case. Why is it a doctrine that will be hated and attacked in every generation? Well, J.I. Packer gives us five reasons. Listen to these. Firstly, it is a gospel mystery, and by this he means that it is revealed by grace through God's revelation. In other words, it's something that man could never guess at or discover for himself. It has to be revealed by God, and this steps on man's pride. Secondly, it is part of the whole of biblical truth. It is a climactic mystery, or a central mystery, and what he means is this: that it's integrally interwoven with all of the other doctrines of the Bible. So if you decide that the Trinity is no longer biblical, or the doctrine of God's holiness, or the doctrine of God's wrath, or you don't need the atonement or substitutionary sacrifice, justification by faith would probably be next in line for attack. Thirdly, it's a spiritual mystery. It is only understood by those who've experienced its reality. So all outsiders look at the doctrine of justification by faith and they say, that's a load of rubbish. That doesn't make any sense. But we who've experienced it know it to be the grace of God. Fourthly, it's a life-giving mystery. It's a mystery that brings joy, love, peace, assurance, holiness, etc., etc. And for this reason, it is hated by the devil. And so it's in his crosshairs for attack. And finally, it is a contradicted mystery. Our natural religion is justification by works. That's how we want to save ourselves. And justification by faith is the exact opposite and contradiction to the natural way we want to try and make ourselves righteous before God. And for these and many other reasons, we find justification by faith to be attacked and hated in every generation. Well, the war against this doctrine continues to wage on. And the battlefields are very numerous. You could think of it as a castle, and every wall is being attacked. Sometimes the question that the battle is waging on is this one: is justification a legal or transformative act? That's one of the questions. Another one would be, what are the grounds of my justification? Is it Christ's righteousness or my own that makes me holy before God? Or another one would be this: is Christ's death sufficient to pay for all my sins, or do I still need to do something? So these are all the battlegrounds that this war has been waged on. But the one that we're going to be looking at today is the question of, what is the nature of faith? What is faith? What is the nature of justifying faith? We've been stressing that we are justified, which means to be declared righteous by God by faith alone, not by works, apart from works of the law. But then the response and the retort has always been this: but isn't faith itself a work? Isn't faith itself a work? And how do we come to that question? Well, we have a verse in front of us, chapter 4, verse 5, where the wording of this verse has been used as a proof text by people wanting to prove that faith is in and of itself a work which plays a part in our justification. We'll read the verse together, and you'll see the last part of the verse is the part that's usually appealed to. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Faith appears to be a form of righteousness. Do you see it? Do you see how the confusion can come in? That we say that we're saved by faith alone apart from works, but it looks like that faith itself is some sort of work. That seems to be a righteousness, something that gets credited as righteousness. Well, this is what we're going to be focusing on today. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking more in depth at the nature of faith. What is faith? We want to understand this. I believe it's a very misunderstood doctrine. And so there's four things that we're going to stress about faith this morning. Firstly, faith as a gift. Faith as trust. Faith as an instrument, not an offering. And faith in its relationship to works. Okay, these are the four things we want to look at. Now, before we get into getting more in depth and getting our teeth into the idea of faith, let's look at this phrase for a moment and try and understand why Paul would phrase himself in such a manner. You've been following Paul with me these many weeks, and we have been reveling in the sunshine of this amazing doctrine that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. That there is absolutely no righteousness that goes heavenward from us to God, but the righteousness comes from heaven to earth. We don't give him righteousness, he gives it to us. And we've been freed from all of our burdens as we've been glorying in this wonderful fact. And now we come to this strange phrase where Paul says about Abraham that his faith is counted as righteousness. And like I said earlier, it's used as a proof text by those who want to prove that we are saved by the work of faith, or saved by faithfulness, or saved by repentance and faith. There are all sorts of ways in which people have tried to make some squeeze room for some sort of works into this particular phrase. So what do we do with a phrase like this that seems to contradict what Paul has been stressing all the way up until now? One response is to throw your hands in the air and say, "Oh, the Bible's so confusing, I can't get my head around it, just give me something practical to do. Take away the theory, give me the practical, I can live with that." And that has been the response of many people. Or other people have happily gone this road. "Aha! Paul is just a man like every other man and he's contradicted himself. This proves the Bible's full of errors. We can't hold anything to it. Our only safe place is in the mystical and the experiential. Let's get away from doctrine and let's go find the mystical experiences to base our faith on." And that's also the response we're not going to take. What we're going to do is we're going to look honestly at the scriptures, trying to find the author's intent. What did Paul really mean? And the tool that we're going to use, just one tool this morning, which will help all of us as we try and discover what this means, is we're going to be looking at the verse in context. A very basic rule, but it will help us with the difficulty of this phrase. And there are two contexts which we're going to consider this morning. The first context is the immediate context, as this phrase is found in the argument that Paul is presently working out.